3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Introduce yourselves so I can, because I don't think I know your name.
My name's Damien.
Oh, wait a minute. Damien, pull that microphone over to you or no one's going to learn who you are.
Okay, my name's Damien.
Do you have a last name, Damien?
Yeah, Burl.
Burl. And you are?
I'm Catherine Burl.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You guys came together. Well, you didn't come together, but you're doing this together, which I think is really cool. So you guys have what?
A barbecue place.
All right, come on, you guys. Get a little more enthusiastic. Does it have a name?
Yes, it does. It's Smokin' D's Barbecue.
There you go. Now someone's got a pulse. We were watching, my wife and I, we love Live PD, and they had this guy who had the squirrel, and his name was D's Nuts. That's what the squirrel's name was. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God. And he said the squirrel was on drugs, and he goes, I don't think my squirrel's on drugs. But the guy kept saying, D's Nuts was captured, you know, so it was funny. So I always think, Smokin' D's. And I stop right there. Yeah. So you guys have the little barbecue place down. We're family, kind of.
Yes, we are.
We're holding down the west side.
Yep.
We're in Luton.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of, I think we should make sure it just says, I live in Luton.
That's right.
Or I work in Luton, which is half Lewis and half Milton.
That's right. Makes sense.
It's the west side corner.
Yep.
That's my second seltzer for the day. So if I get crazy, just tell me to chill out. So listen. I started a podcast called Rehoboth Social, and, you know, the premise of the podcast is about one small business helping another, and I'm a small business. I have the salon, but my podcast is a small business, and, you know, as much barbecue that comes out of that place, you're still a small business, mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought it'd be fun to have you guys on, talk about your journey. Damien?
Yes.
Was telling me before, you know, that, you know, this isn't to let the world know that you have a barbecue place, because for the most part, most people know Smokin' D's. But I think it's fun to find out about the journey. You know, how many people are sitting at home going, geez, I wish I could just, I just want to open a barbecue place, or I just want to open a paint store, or I just want to open a hair salon, but I'm just scared.
Yeah.
You know, what's, you know, it's fun to talk about the story. What said, you know, maybe you said to you, to your wife, let's just go for it. Or she said it to you, and you just threw it all in there, and, you know, however it fell, you made it happen anyway. And you've been doing it for a while, because we've kind of, I feel like we kind of started together. I opened the salon September of 2010.
So how many years has that been?
Well, September, it'll be, this September, it'll be 10 years.
10 years. So we're in our 9th season.
Yep. So I'm in my 9th season. So we almost kind of opened together.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
That's right.
You know, barbecue is cool because barbecue requires some love. You know, it's not like a hamburger. No offense to hamburgers. Because, you know, I give the hamburger a little love. But barbecue is a commitment.
Yeah.
If you don't make the commitment, speaking for me, like if I want to make some ribs and I don't put the commitment into those ribs, it tastes like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So ribs, barbecue requires love. And you have a bandage on your arm, and I'm like, did you burn yourself in your love for your passion for you? No, I got stabbed.
Talk about that bandage.
We're not gonna, but am I right?
Yes.
So how'd you fall in love with barbecue? Wait a minute. Let me guess. You were a badass backyard barbecuer, and you said, you know what? I should open my own barbecue.
Nope.
I'm glad I had you on the podcast, because if I had said that, it would have been completely wrong. Who wants to tell the story?
You can start.
I can start. Well, I don't know. I think Food Network is what started the whole thing, actually. Barbecue became a hit, and we were kind of in a spot where Damien was thinking about something different, and we have 3 kids, which were young at that time, but old enough still where our oldest one could come out and work with us.
Yeah.
So just trying to find something new to do, something to kind of give us a little spark.
Try to redefine happiness.
Exactly.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like when you think as you're growing up what happiness is or what you think you want to do, and then you kind of get into it and you're like, well, I'm not that happy. You know, I need to fulfill some other desire, barbecue or whatever it is, small business or, you know, going out on your own.
Yep.
You know, you come to that point where you have to kind of redefine it.
That's true.
Is that kind of what happened?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I have a background. I grew up in the restaurant business. My mom had a seafood restaurant in Rehoboth,
which
is now called Catchers.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, we were there. So, I grew up in that, and she had two hair salons in Rehoboth.
Wow.
Yeah.
We are family.
Yeah, we are family.
Where were the hair? Who's your mom?
Her name is Toni McNatt. Well, Toni Mancuso now.
I probably met her.
You've met my mom.
Yeah, I have met her. She's a nice lady.
She is a nice lady. Yeah. So
she had two hair salons?
She had two, one on Baltimore Avenue, and that was called East Coast Haircutters.
Okay.
And then one under the Henlopen Hotel, which was called the Henlopen Hair Gallery. So it faced the beach. It was right like...
So did you grow up hanging out in the hair salon?
I sure did.
It's a great way to live. It's a great way to grow up, I think.
I wouldn't change it, really. I mean, the only thing I would have changed is that I didn't get to see my mom much, but I grew up in all the businesses. So.
Right. Well, and I just met a lot of people.
I
did a podcast with a guy just now, and I was saying that, you know, kids growing up in the small business when their family's, you know, running a small business, you know, like David when he was five, can you, you know, ask the client if they would like some water?
Yeah. Would you like some water?
But, you know, he'd bring the water out, and, you know, he would do it. And, you know, I think it builds a little bit of character. You know, I always say you'll never work as hard as you do when you work for yourself.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And I think it's a great lesson for kids. So, and it sounded like it was a, you know, a great lesson for you growing up.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it makes it hard to, you know, when you've grown up kind of in your own thing. So then you think working for somebody else is, you know, it's a little difficult. But
well, and I think Damon mentioned that you have another job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a business you own, or do you work for somebody?
He and I have been partners for 25 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a cabinet shop.
Nice. Here, pull this a little closer.
It's a cabinet shop.
You can just pull it closer. It's no big deal. But, you know, just
quiet voice.
Yeah. It's like, here's me. Here's Catherine. Then here's you back here. So let's bring you all up in the. So it's cabinet business. So, yeah, it's kind of like working for yourself at the same time, right?
No, it's very much like working for yourself. We had seven guys working there, and we've been in business for 27 years, as the shop is now.
Is that why you only open the barbecue on the weekends?
Yes.
That makes sense. Okay. Because I didn't know if it was something with that spot or something.
No. Plus, I mean, because we're family run, so we have our three kids that you know, do this with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they would choke us if we said we wanted to do this full time.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fun.
No.
You know, we want to run it. It's not going to run us. We
exactly.
want to run it.
Yeah.
But, so you grew up in this in a family of a small business.
That's right. Yeah.
And Rehoboth was a lot different back then.
Oh, my goodness. A lot different. Yeah.
Did the changes drive you crazy?
Some do, some don't. I mean, I get it. You know, I understand that you can't hold things back and growth is important. But I hate the fact that they're taking, like for instance, our corner. You know, they're going to...
Are you guys losing your spot?
We will eventually.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I think they're going to
do an overpass there. And then across the highway, I guess, they're going to do something eventually.
It might be a light. It might be an... They have no idea what they're doing there.
Right.
Well, I've heard they don't want any lights on that road.
Exactly.
Actually, someone just told me, maybe you know about this. They said that you're not going to be able to actually go left there. There's going to stop going left. You're going to have to go right and then U-turn and then come down. Well, and that's, you know, it's interesting. You know, my niece was affected by that road.
That's right.
You know, and my niece was the last person to was involved with that accident. That's the last person to die where her accident was up in Milford.
Yeah.
And they're just moving them down and handling each one. But you guys were played a big role when Lily, my niece, was getting better, you know, and I'll always, you know, Kathleen, my ex-wife and I aren't married, but you know, we're always still family.
Yeah.
And Lily's always going to be my niece. And one thing I remember from that is that how you guys really stepped up and, you know, got involved and really helped, raise money, for her cause, because she was in a very bad accident, and she's doing quite well today. In fact, not only do I I give credit to AI DuPont, which is an amazing hospital, but I also give a lot of credit to clearly her family, but the community, you know, and they still, you know, help Lily. You know, Lily's done, I mean, when that accident happened, I didn't think Lily was going to even make it. Mm-hmm. And then I just talked to her the other day on FaceTime for Father's Day. Oh. And I go, how you doing? You know, like, it's always like, how you doing? I'm doing fine. I'm like, all right. Okay, cool. Like, you know, I still want to be in that tragic moment. And she's like, you know, I've moved on. I'm doing great. Yeah. So, but, sorry. I don't know if I just screwed that up, but it's fine. So you guys were a big part of that. And so whenever, you know, when I started doing this podcast and about one small business helping another, you guys always came to mind. It's hard to ask people because I don't want to be annoying. But you guys agreed, so here you are.
Thank you.
So, small business, and then you decide to open a barbecue place.
Yep.
How'd you find that spot?
Actually, Damien found the spot, mm-hmm. and I thought he was crazy.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. They had farm animals there.
She still does.
I do, yeah. Maybe more now, actually.
That's why she loves you, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Sanity's overrated.
Yeah, he said, you know, because we never come out this way. I mean, we're Rehoboth. We're in Rehoboth, basically. And so he told me to come and meet him on this corner. And, yeah, literally, really, I thought he was nuts.
So is it true? I mean, was it really about, like, watching barbecues on TV and you just thought that it was kind of a niche-y thing going on right now and that's what got you into it? I mean, you can't tell me that you weren't great at barbecuing before. Did you learn as you went?
I've always cooked. When I was a kid, I cooked. My mom and dad got divorced when I was young, so I liked to eat, and we wanted to eat. My mom was working 3 or 4 jobs, and we had to cook. So, I was cooking a lot of chicken with the church at Eagle's Nest, and just being around some guys and cooking chicken, you know, open pit. And
it's amazing how good that chicken is. You know what I'm saying? Like any of these groups that, like these church groups that pop up in the middle of a parking lot and start cooking chicken, that's some tasty chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it's, I guess it's that grill they use.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's not a lot to it. It's not rocket science, but.
Well, I tell you, I can screw up some chicken.
You need to spend some attention to it.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were cooking a lot of chicken for the church at the time and just looking for something to do. You know, we sat down. We were like, "What do we do on weekends in the summer, anyway?" So we
everything.
the beach.
Now nothing.
No, the we beach. Didn't really do that much stuff.
I'm playing.
All said and done, we just kind of, and it was a good way to keep the family together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're not at Jimmy's house and Phil's house, you know, all over the place. That Colin worked there, and we could spend. We spent a lot of time with Colin on the weekends because of this business.
Is he your oldest one?
He's the oldest one.
Okay.
He ran the register for...
How old is he?
He's going to be 22 at the end of this month.
He'll be 20.
Oh, 20. God, 22.
Just made him 2 years old.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So he'll be drinking beer next... This
oh, God.
Just kidding.
Yeah, 20. He'll be 20. So he's been running the register basically since he was 10 and a half.
Yeah.
It's funny. When I had this... When I first opened this place, I had... David used to come, and he'd answer the phone, and he'd check people out. Yep. There was another girl that worked here, and she, I think she had a resentment for that. But she would say, oh, he's not doing a good job. And, you know, only a parent could look past some of the mistakes. You know, he's my son.
Yes.
But, yeah. You know, when the other employees are like, you know, I think he's missing phone calls, I'm like, all right. I don't believe that, but I pulled him off the register.
Yeah.
He's like, why? I go, I don't know, just... Not now.
Yeah.
But that's tough, you know, when you're trying to get them involved.
You know, Colin.
The first day we were open, you know, I went in the trailer, and our first customer came to Smoke and D's, and it was an exciting time. And Colin stood up at the register, and I'll never forget. He didn't look at the guy. He just had his head down. He said, "Can I help you?" And the guy's like looking at him, and he just said, "Yeah, I guess I'll have a pulled pork sandwich and." You know, beans and a Coke or something. And Colin goes, "That'll be $9. And he never looked at the guy. He took his $10 bill, hands him $1, said, "Okay, it'll be up in a second," or whatever. Never looked at the guy one time.
Not a stir, not a nothing. Food,
you know, and I just said, here, buddy, come here. And she goes, don't get on him. He's only 11, you know. I said, nope. This is our business. He's the face of our business. And we're very tough with him, you know.
Yeah.
I said, we have entrusted you with this very important job. You are the face of the business. And you put
so was that his, he asked you to do it?
No.
So you stuck him there and then he called and entrusted him.
Absolutely.
You're doing this and we're entrusting you.
That's right.
The fire and then
this
we told him how to burn.
I mean, he would cry. Birthdays. Oh, my gosh. That poor kid. Yeah. Yep.
What do you mean
I have to work on my birthday?
Character.
You know, he really, we have been very blessed. We have three fantastic kids. They all are very respectful. Mm-hmm. They know how to speak to people. They
and they probably learned it right through that little window.
They did. They did.
That's the same with mine.
Yep. And the support for our children have been amazing. I mean, when Colin turned 18, our daughter was turning 14 or 16. Colin was turning 16. Sophia was turning 14. And we had a surprise birthday party on the property for them. And we had probably over...
We had about 150 customers that showed up for his birthday
exactly.
party.
Exactly. So, and it was kind of funny because I told Colin, I was outside decorating the property. And Colin thought that I was decorating for a catering job.
Oh.
So I had him help me.
So he helped decorate his own party.
Yeah, exactly.
So who's Colin?
That's right. But it's amazing. I mean, people, they love to, they tip the kids because the kids are saving for college. Colin is putting himself through. And
I guess kids, I don't know, they have a bad rap. I think the kids get a bad rap because the rap's coming from, like, our age people. Like,
yes.
We had gone to Firefly, and, you know, I used to love saying, well, kids aren't as passionate about music. They're not, you know, they don't dedicate themselves to music like we did when we were kids. You know, we had to listen to a record, and we had to listen to the whole thing, and we couldn't fast forward. And, you know, I love getting on this soapbox about this, and I just took David and his buddy Oliver to, we went to Firefly, and they were on the rail front row for the whole time. They didn't move through TLC, through some of the interesting bands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're passionate. They're just as passionate, if they're not even more passionate. It's just that I tend to take my memories and my feelings and I put it on their life. And that's not fair to them for sure, but it's definitely not fair to me because I start feeling bad. Like they're not, you know, they'll never love Judas Priest like I did, you know.
Right.
And they're very passionate. And kids today, you know, it's not how it's not the way we did it, but they still, you know, they're still turning out to be great kids. It may not look, the paths aren't the same, but you know, when I was at Firefly, David and them were running around Firefly, on their own. They didn't get in any trouble. No one snatched them. Mm-hmm. You know, they handled themselves very well. And I don't know. I was just very, I almost said impressed. I was very excited.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to see, you know, kids being good kids.
Uh-huh. It is. And I think, well, and it's funny because your first, Colin, and we were very tight with Colin. And then we have a daughter, Sophia. And of course, her being a girl, we, you know, pretty tight with her. But then our youngest, Gavin, he's 14 and he works on the beach. So he works for cats. And this kid jumps on the park and ride.
Bus, yeah.
Yeah. He drives that down and brings it back. I would never in a million years allow
drive
that.
It down. He rides
well,
it
he
down.
Rides it down.
I know what you mean.
Yes.
But that's what, and we were just talking.
And he's fine.
I guess it's going to be the kind of topics, but we just talked about this. I mean, this is what we did. I grew up in Albuquerque. I used to ride the city bus from where I lived, which is about 25 miles away from the school. And I used to ride the city bus home through Route 66 in downtown Albuquerque by myself. I can say, raise my hand to Jesus. No one ever has ever offered to kidnap me.
Right. Very good.
I almost feel bad about it. You know, like I'm not good enough. But I've never, no one's ever wanted me. And, you know, now, like, if a kid rides the school bus, it's like, oh, my God, he's phenomenal. It's like we put so much of this, we live in such a negative time.
We do.
It's very tough.
It is tough. I mean, I a few times I think I've said, oh my gosh, if I had to do this over again, would I? You know, because you're up against so much.
What, having kids?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think you would.
Well, I would probably.
Of course you would. I mean, it makes us better. I mean, I don't know, and I only speak for me, I don't know what kind of person I'd have evolved into without having kids. I would have continued to be the self-centered prick that I was.
Wow.
I was self-centered.
Well, I think we're kids all a bit. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Most definitely.
And I'm 50. You're 49. I mean, I'm getting old. I can definitely see, you know, days where I would maybe have sat on the couch and maybe watched a little Sports Center, where instead my 8-year-old's like, "Can we throw the football?" I'm like, "All right, you know, one day I won't have this. So I'll cherish these moments." But you know, kids keep me moving.
Yeah, that's true.
You always hear about these parents that want to have their kids early so they can have them out of the house. Like, they're never leaving.
No.
You think they are, but it takes a village, and it takes longer than 18 years.
Oh, yes. Well, thank God. I mean, that honestly has been the hardest thing for me, is especially with the oldest one going off to college and letting go. And you don't really let go ever.
No.
Ever.
They tell you. At least I know I won't. You know, yeah. You're always texting, and I always think that would have been weird as a kid, texting with my mom.
I know.
I'll be home. Not.
Yeah.
So you guys found the spot, and I guess you must have teamed up with who? Because there was another couple that had that. What was the guy?
Wally. Wally and Dawn. Dawn's Country Market.
Are they still around?
I think Wally and Dawn live in Milton somewhere.
They do. That must have been a fun group to team up with, kind of, because Wally was, you know, he had the chickens and he had that big cow.
Yep.
Chunk Chunk.
And then Chunk Chunk went missing.
Chunk Chunk died.
I know. Well, then I think someone thought you might have barbecued it.
Nuh-uh. No way. No way.
Was Chunk Chunk barbecueable?
No.
Too old?
Yeah, too young. He was young.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
They don't really know.
Yeah.
They think maybe somebody fed him something that he shouldn't have
eaten.
That's
what I heard. Yeah. Maybe he ate something wrong or something. But, so you team up with them, and then you just go for it. I mean, I guess, were you nervous? Were you worried?
Mm.
Did you have a recipe?
No. No. Well,
yeah,
really.
But you toured around. Damien went on a long barbecue tour.
Yeah, a little bit.
Learned something.
Damon, you're very, very, your passion is very subdued, my friend. I hope this is more passion.
All right,
off
so
the mic.
Anyway, I traveled 3,200 miles in 6 days and visited 145 barbecue places.
What's a secret? What do you think? What's your secret? I mean, time. I'm gonna guess time is a secret for good barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue is very simple. It's very simple.
Right.
You just have to spend the time to do it.
Right.
And we have a machine. You know, be honest with you, God put all this in place. I didn't really do anything. Catherine really didn't do anything. God had it. He just put everything in place.
I mean,
you can see it right down to just the little things, like how we bought our Southern Pride smoker and how it came up and how the chicken cooker came up. And just every little thing, it was just like, you know, God wanted it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives me the strength to get up in the morning at 1 o'clock and put ribs in. And, you know, everybody's like, how do you do that? Well, you just do it. You know, I grew up doing things that I didn't want to do. And it kind of gets me to, I want to do that today. But
I get frustrated when people say, well, how can you do that? It's like, what do you mean? I'm lucky. It's awesome. I'm putting ribs on my grill at my smoking D's restaurant at 1 in the morning because they're going to be delicious.
It's great. You open up the two smoker doors at 1 o'clock in the morning. You got your shoulders in. They've been in for 7 hours at that point. And
they act like you're being punished.
Yeah.
You're making some kick-ass food.
Just the smell of that is just like, this is great.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, I mean, just right down to, give me an example, the Southern Pride, to scoop out the coals out of the Southern Pride.
And Southern Pride is a cooker?
Southern Pride is a smoker.
Okay, a smoker.
It's an automated smoker, so you don't have to go out and babysit the meat like every 2 hours to make sure your fire's right. You set your temperature on 205 or 210 or whatever you barbecue, and it'll stay on 210.
Or 230. We don't want to give out too much information.
Yeah.
228.5.
Yes.
Just don't give the ingredients, please.
You know, you just set the temperature meat. And you can come back a week later and it'll be on 228.5. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're dealing with the weather and you have a pit that you know, you got to feed it a certain amount when it's raining or humid or anything like that. So it's very simple to barbecue with that machine. I had to do it that way because I don't have the time to do, you know, I work 40 hours a week at the cabinet shop and mm-hmm. I work 40 hours a week at the barbecue. So for 6 months a year, I'm working 80 hours a week. And I don't have time to go out every 2 hours and babysit a pit. So we were very fortunate to get that machine because the machines were out of reach. They were $25,000, $30,000. And we got this machine a lot less than that.
Smoker compared to liquid smoke?
I don't even know. I've never cooked with liquid smoke, so.
I cannot stand liquid smoke. I'm not key. I can tell, like, when I eat liquid smoke, and it's very yuck.
Yeah.
So it's official. You guys smoke it.
Yeah, there's nothing like real wood. You know, and when I did my barbecue loop, I wasn't looking for recipes. I literally would be knocking on somebody's door in the back kitchen at 4 o'clock in the morning. As long as I saw smoke coming out of the building, I was knocking on the door, and I slept like 2 hours a day for 6 days. The other 22 hours, I was riding and visiting spots. But down south, they were very welcoming. They'd open up the kitchen door for you, and they'd show you the pits, and they'd, you know, here's what I do. And, you know, you just tell them who you were, and then, you know, my name's Damien. We're opening up a Smokin' D's up in Delaware. We're not your competition. I'm not looking for recipes. Just wanted to know why you got in business, how you stay in business, why you're doing this, and if I could just pick your brain, and you've got a couple minutes, you know. And so that's
they probably would have told you the recipe.
Some of them did, yeah. You know.
Cooperation over competition.
Frank Vernon, I met him just by chance. He invented barbecue spaghetti down in Memphis, Tennessee, and he's helped a couple of people get their barbecue places started. But he and I, and he was a man of God, and he and I sat and talked for 2 or 3 hours, and he wanted to come up and open our place. And I was like, no, well, we get this thing up and running, I'll give you a call, and you can come up and watch it run. But, you know, and I've since been back there to visit him, and it was kind of cool.
That is cool.
And who God put in front of you during that trip, you know. And
when did you know Matt Haley?
Yes.
He when I'd opened the salon, he came over here, and there was another place that was down here, a bakery. Mm-hmm. And when Matt came to visit, and I was like, come down here and meet this guy. I won't say his name, the baker or the baker's husband or whatever he was. And so I took Matt down there, and Matt's like, hey, man, you know, can I come back and check out your kitchen? See, you know, that's what I guess chefs and barbecue people do. They just want to look at each other's stuff. And so he's like, yeah, can I come check out your kitchen? The guy's like, no. I go, oh, dang. I said, he goes, all right, cool, man, that's cool. And walked out, and he looks at me and goes, he'll never make it.
Yep.
And I came back later, and the guy says, hey, what's the deal with your buddy? You know, why does he need to look into my kitchen? And I go, dude, that was Matt Haley. I mean, he might have, like, liked your overpriced scones. Maybe he would have used them in his restaurant or something. But you were too important to let him. And they're gone now.
Yes, they are. They've been gone a while.
Yeah, and you know what? I always say, and I'm going to jump around, so mm-hmm. just forgive me. But I love your sign, Smokin' D's Barbecue. It's very clear. You know, it's not in cursive. It's not in fine print. It's, you know, the guy that was down there had this sign, and I'm like, can someone tell me what that even says? Because I don't even know. I think it was in French and in cursive and this fine print. And Matt used to say, the best sign says, best hamburger in town or best barbecue. And then if that's taken, then, you know, AA's best barbecue or, you know, whatever it was. But it was very simple, big block letters. Everything after that was ego. Mm-hmm. And I love your sign because just Smokin' D's Barbecue, and you're very clear what we're dealing with here. And, you know, when you see people always say, this is a bad area for opening restaurants. And I said, no, this is a bad area for people that don't know how to open a restaurant to open a restaurant.
Yeah.
And if you're a criminal or you steal from people, it's a bad place to open a restaurant.
Yeah.
If you're an egotistical maniac, this is a bad place for you to open a restaurant. But if you want to make a nice sign and sell a nice product, you can succeed. Mm-hmm. You guys do.
We do.
I always say nothing's convenient. You know, we like, my wife and I like eating at arenas sometimes. It's not on the way. It's not close. But they're, you know, they have good food. And we drive over there and we go there. So this is a perfect place. I feel like this is actually the golden spot for having a restaurant because Absolutely. There's nothing out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing here.
There's nothing here.
And if we were committed, like right now, I'm still running that cabinet shop, and we don't have the time to run a full-time restaurant, nor do we really, really want to.
Well, I think if that's the case, it's...
It takes over your whole life.
Well, if that's what you're doing, you hire people. You know, you can't run the way you're doing it, obviously, sure. because you have it set up a different way. But if you guys went all barbecue... You hire people, you manage them. You hire kids. You tell your kids,
and that's
you're now managing the restaurant.
That's right, exactly.
And that's the problem with the day. We Catherine and I are very hands on, and we'd have a problem with hiring, you know, 10 or 15 people and managing that, because then the love for barbecue goes away, because it's you got to
the love in the barbecue.
You got to manage these people, and now the barbecue is not touched by people that really care about it, and I would have a serious problem with that. And so would she.
That's really what our business is. I mean, that's really why the business has taken off, honestly.
Right.
I mean, like you said, barbecue is pretty much barbecue, but you meet our family.
I did not say that. I did not say that.
No. Oh, well, no. He said.
Because
Damien said it.
We had a conversation before you got here, and to me, barbecue is love.
It is love.
There is love in barbecue.
Yep.
Ham sandwich is different, but a barbecue is, you know, it's if I make ribs compared to the way Damon makes ribs, my ribs aren't going to be very good because I don't have the time and I don't have the love to put in those ribs.
It's about passion.
Right.
It's the passion that goes into it. I mean, it's just like even that property, we struggle because there's so much that could be done on that property, mm-hmm. like the benefit for Lily. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was I ran into them at Eagle's Nest, found out what happened with Lily. My daughter, daughter Sophia was in class with Lily. Mm-hmm. And I just remember seeing their faces and thinking, dear God, I couldn't imagine if we were in that situation. So what could we do? Well, I mean, we had that property. Never in a million years would I think that we would have over 1,000,
a couple thousand.
And we did it twice.
We had some traffic problems. I remember that. There were some issues.
Yeah, but it was such a great moment.
Well, I love issues. I love moments like that where we have issues, but it's for such a cause that, you know, no one said, Jesus, traffic's too much, or geez, there's too many people here, or, you know, it was like, no problem.
No, it was no problem, really. I mean, everybody, when it came down to those two benefits, it amazed me. I mean, I was talking to so many people and trying to get them to donate their time, and not one person, the only no that I would receive is if they were already tied up doing right. something else. I mean, the community was phenomenal about that, and it just worked. You know, it worked out there, and it was a huge moment for me personally to see something like that happen, because sometimes we do, you know, just like back to the kids, you tend to get caught up in the ugly, you know, or where you think that things are so bad and rough, mm-hmm. and when you see people pull together like that in a community, it just shows you the passion that people have. And really, that's what Smoke and D's is all about for us. It's the passion.
It started on community.
It absolutely did. I mean, our friends are the ones that supported us. I mean, Damien likes to cook. I don't like to cook that much. But, you know, our sides, the kids and I, we do the sides and we cut the coleslaw. And that coleslaw, it's kind of a running joke for our customers because a lot of work goes into that coleslaw.
It's good.
And they'll call and they'll ask for like a big pan of it, and I'll try to talk them out of it. And they're like, who does that? I'm like, me. I don't want to make it.
You want to hear a funny story? When I got married, and so we said, you know, we're going to just do all of our own food. And we, I don't, you weren't around. You weren't around then. And so we ordered some barbecue from a place up in Dover. And, you know, with barbecue, you always order, you're like, oh, we're going to need a few pans of barbecue. And so we got a few pans, and I think we ate a half a pan. And we were at my parents', and my mom has a double stove.
Yeah.
And someone had the idea of storing, you know, while during the wedding or whatever, the reception, of putting a pan of this big pan of pulled pork or whatever it is down in the lower stove to keep it, you know, just hold it there. And after the wedding and everything was over, I'm like, didn't we have another pan of meat? Like, oh, I guess we ate it. It's like, oh, my God. 6 weeks later, we found the pan of barbecue in the lower stove. And it was, you know, it was sealed in the aluminum. So I will tell you, we did not open it. But I was like, damn, we really wanted to eat that barbecue, too. Mm-hmm. I love barbecue. I grew up in New Mexico, and there was a restaurant called Padre's. And I love barbecue. It's just the best. So I never get to eat at your place. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why, not that you are wondering or care, but you're only open on weekends.
Yes.
And when I get out of here, and you know how it is down here, like sometimes you just want to get out of the area because traffic can get so ridiculous. And so on Fridays, I try to get out early. And then Saturdays, I only work till noon. And I make a beeline out of here because of traffic. And then once you're out of here, you don't want to come back down here. So that's why I don't get to enjoy a lot of barbecue. Not that I'd love barbecue. I don't eat any other barbecue because you guys really are the only place. I did see a new place open, but not eating there.
Yeah, that's right.
Not eating that place. But 9 years later, so it sounds like you guys are coming to a kind of a turning point.
Yeah.
You have to take a hard look at the love for barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I don't know.
See what the path that gets put before us and, you know, take it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like I said, God's got a plan for this thing. So we just have to be mindful of that. And, you know, he'll do what he sees fit. And we'll obey that, you know. Today I was delivering food at a homeless shelter. We ran out of chicken. We usually give them all our leftover chicken.
Okay.
But we had a great weekend. We ran out of chicken. I had to go get more chicken at Weiss. I had to go get leg quarters because people were going to kill me.
Yeah.
We ran out of chicken. We were going to run out of chicken at like 3 o'clock, and we were still open for 4 more hours. So I went and got 90 pounds of leg quarters to cook those. Cooked most of them, all that would fit on one pit. And they all sold. So we had no chicken this week to give the homeless shelter in Milton. And so I just took them over some pork because we always have pork.
Yeah.
I took them over some pork instead. And, you know, that's what we do. We just give back and, you know, we're blessed by it.
Where's the homeless shelter in Milton?
There's one of them. It's a Catholic charity.
Okay.
It's right by the new, there's a new Mexican restaurant going in.
Oh, on the pond?
On the pond. You'll pass that a couple, like two or three houses, and it's on the right as you're heading towards the quick Milton Quick Stop.
And you can just bring them food?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You just bring them food, and then there's a food pantry in Milton, I think where the Lions Club is. There's a, I think it's a Lions Club building.
Like at the top of the hill?
Yeah, you would.
Goshen Hall?
It's kind of catty-cornered from the police station.
I'm not sure what that is. For some reason, I feel like Goshen. Is it Goshen Hall? What is that? Yeah, it's not Lions Club.
It's just a little rancher with vinyl siding.
And yeah, gray.
Gray.
Yeah, at the top of the hill. If you're coming around,
but
there's
the corner. A Lions Club emblem there, and I don't know if they have their meetings there.
I think it's called Goshen Hall.
Yep. But they do a food pantry there every Monday, so you know, we donate a lot of rolls to them and stuff like that.
That's cool.
So they're always happy to see us.
Yeah. What do you mean you sold all your chicken?
Yeah.
Baloney.
Yeah.
Well, I hope. God puts the, you know, in your path that you keep doing barbecue. You know, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. You know, I try to think about things a little bit more ahead a little bit. I want a little bit of a plan. But I always feel like if I'm living a good life, you know, whatever God, I always say if I'm humble, I'll see the plan.
Sure.
If I'm living in self, I tend to miss the plan.
That's right.
So I try to stay humble and try to stay in the plan. And but, you know, the it, I guess there hasn't been a lot of conversation on exactly what's going to be lost. Will you for sure lose that spot?
You know, it's totally up in the air. The Hudsons own the property, and they want to develop the property. That is a, you know, we talked to Christian and Julie and James, and they want to develop the property. That is a definite. It's just a matter of whether the state might take the property over, if they're even going to do an overpass there. My opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, this should be the light that says, welcome to the beach. Slow down, 45 miles an hour. Then you'll slow that traffic down getting to the Nassau Bridge. 2 miles later, you're at the Nassau Bridge sitting in traffic. So the state of Delaware did a very good job getting people down here quickly, all Milford Overpass and all these overpasses. But there's no overpass it's not a necessity for an overpass here. It should just be a nicely done intersection with some lights, and it'll slow people down, because 2 miles later, they're sitting at the Nassau Bridge. So what are you, 30 more seconds getting down to the beach? They're never going to solve 5 points. And if you do solve the 5 points light, then you have the one at Lowe's. And you're not going to solve that.
I think they're planning on solving 5 points. I mean, I think they're selling Ace. I think they're actually, they have to solve 5 points. There's not really,
they're gonna improve
you can't
five
not.
They're going to improve it, but they're not going to bypass. The traffic's not going to bypass this whole area and just keep going to Ocean City.
No.
Or dump you right into Dewey Beach or dump you right into Rehoboth.
No, I don't think that. I think, but that, you know, there needs. I mean, people are going to be going on 9. 9 is really blending onto 9. It's really turning out to be, you know, where in the past maybe a car got stuck in the intersection. I was now like the whole line of cars is stuck in the intersection. Yeah. So they have to.
They'll improve that intersection.
I think they're selling. I think Ace got sold that property.
Yes, it did.
And I think that'll probably I'll be interested to see what they do. I hope they do something. It's a mess. They got to fix that. It's a real problem. Yeah. I agree with the light. That sounds cool. I think you know, developing on the other side of Route 1, I think, was part of whoever was going to develop that was going to have to be kind of held responsible for fixing that.
Right.
But I don't think anybody seems to be really going crazy about developing that now.
Right.
Right.
Well, and we don't really know. I mean, we just hear a lot of our customers.
Just guessing.
It's just talking.
It's,
you know,
all talking.
It's just all talk. And for us, like, we're taking like we have a pad of paper out on our table and just taking names and numbers and email addresses, so that when that time comes, and who knows, I mean, maybe we'll be blessed enough to be there for 2 more summers. Right. You know, that's my hope. But if not, there's so many people. The owner of Browseabouts Books in Rehoboth is looking for property for us. I mean, so many people are trying to find us that right spot. And will it ever be like this spot? You know, who knows? Maybe it'll be better.
Maybe it'll be better.
You know, maybe it'll be better. But however it works out, we'll still continue in some fashion to sell barbecue. So, I mean, I think I think that's still our goal.
Right now we're supplying Casapulls with our pork. We've been doing that for about 15, 16 months. They run a pulled pork sandwich special right at Casapulls in Rehoboth. And then they sell trays of it frozen to take home for parties and things. And, you know, pretty much any Grandpa Max
uses it.
They do a special, and he likes to do his specials about every 6 to 8 weeks so that he doesn't wear specials out. But so he'll buy 30, 40, 50 pounds at a time, run his special till it runs out, and then he's done with it. And then 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks later, he'll do it again. And, you know, we really haven't approached that avenue. But if we would just go to some businesses like Pfeiffer's Orchard Market in Dewey and, you know, different businesses, we could definitely put our product out there where people, it would be convenient for people to buy it. But it still wouldn't be like, I mean, I had 3 customers yesterday. They came back to the pit, and they looked in the trailer and saw my daughter was in there, and Colin wasn't in there. And where's Colin? No, he's at Firefly. Oh, okay. And they just got back in their truck, and they left. And I said, you don't got anything to eat? No, I just wanted to stop by and say hi to Colin. And, you know, it's like a family there. And you don't get that family atmosphere
when you're putting it in
up,
a store.
You know, we've often thought about maybe just buying refrigerators and putting smoking D's and doing a little smoking D's kiosks and, like, you know, Milton Quick Stop and having these refrigerators full of barbecue that you could just get your beans, your slaw, your ribs, and take it home and heat it and eat it.
Well, but I do like the fact that, you know, working with other restaurants, because it is a huge commitment to make barbecue. I mean, it seems easy. You can, but, you know, if it's good, you know, it takes hours. And some people aren't even set up for all that. So that's pretty cool that you actually team up with other restaurants and they can sell barbecue that's super delicious, like they've been barbecuing it for 16 hours. And it's really just some kick-ass barbecue that you made.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, but, yeah, I guess you have to figure out what you want to do. I mean, if you want to continue to be a small family business, eventually your kids are going to grow up, and I'm assuming, because I say, you guys don't do hair? No.
No.
So, okay, so eventually they're going to leave.
Sure.
But, you know, unless you feel like barbecuing, you know, for the rest of your life, you know, you have to figure out some sort of plan, because there's going to be a lot of people that are like, we still like the barbecue.
Yeah, and we're in that situation now. Colin's been working at Blue Coast, so I talked to him about handing the baton down to Sophia and have her work the register, because he's making decent money at Blue Coast, and you know, his time is kind of moved on. You know, he's getting ready to get out of college in a couple of years and get another job, you know, get a real job and let Sophia have it for a little while. And then Gavin, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, he wants to be on the beach surfing and skimming, and that's great. You know, we talked about that just last night. You know, he's still going to help prep on Friday nights.
There's no money in surfing.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm like, well,
no money in skimming.
He's going pro. This kid has big dreams. He's going pro.
Awesome.
Yep.
I said, well, the couch will always be available to you.
I don't. There might be money. I don't know.
I don't know.
So, and, you know, that's the other thing. All the kids will grow up and they'll get their jobs and they'll move on. And then you're stuck with, you know, Catherine and I will be just trying to find employees.
Trying
to find employees, and you know, can't trust people to do the things that you want them to do. And that happened with the produce place over here. That's why they're no longer here. They have a thriving produce business in Felton, and it just got to be too much for them here. And
so there's nobody, there's no produce.
There's no produce there, which. You know, we've had our best spring so far, and there's not been a produce place there. We have the Capitol Buildings is there. They do sheds and outdoor furniture, and he does. They do a really nice job with that.
Yeah.
He's a go-getter. So,
well, the foods I've always had. You know, there was a even when the other people were there, I'd go over there to get chips, and the chips were on like 2 years old on the shelf. Yeah. It was just
yeah. You
can't really eat those.
Right. No, and you could have it's a tough thing. If you could have a really nice convenience store around here, because there's a lot of people in Painter's Mill. There's a lot of people in Overbrook Shores. But you have to keep that product fresh, and you have to keep it moving and find out what people like and do a nice job with it, and it would thrive.
But well, and there's people. I mean, I said, you know, it would be nice to turn this down here into a liquor store. I'm not a promoter of liquor, but it would be a good business because there's not much around here. And, you know, but everyone's like, well, I'll drive all the way to, you know, whatever the liquor store is down in Rehoboth to save a dollar on my Black Label or whatever they drink.
Sure.
I'm like, you wouldn't support the store right here? You know, because it's always about the best deal they can get. And I'm like, whatever. So, yeah, you're right. You know, and then you know, you don't pass that savings on. And, like, if you're buying milk, you know, people want cheap milk. If you're only buying 6 gallons of it, it's not going to be at a great price.
Sure.
So it's tough.
It would be a tough thing to have.
It's a tough business to get into, I can tell you that for sure.
And you got
to
have somebody at the register there for 10, 12 hours a day while you're selling 5 gallons of milk.
Yeah, right, exactly.
here's all the money I made here, and here's some more money because I didn't make enough money to pay you today. And, you know, it's just that's the situation you run into until it gets running, until it gets moving.
I think, you know, when the fact that you're selling your barbecue in other restaurants, to me, that seems like the direction I would think about going. I mean, just me thinking out loud. You know, if I could have my barbecue in several restaurants, I mean, you say your son works at Blue Coast. I'm sure you're friends with Scott and all those those guys. I'm sure, I mean, I don't know if they even have barbecue, but, you know, that would seem to be like kind of a cool thing where you didn't have to, if you got to a point where you didn't have a space anymore. Because I don't think you want to have brick and mortar. It seems like you guys like working out of that, you know, your little system that you got over there,
yep.
Which is working.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So there's There's a few possibilities. We could just set up a smokehouse somewhere mm-hmm. where we wouldn't do retail. We would just smoke a lot of meat, cook a lot of beans, cut a lot of slaw.
Nah. Coleslaw's gone.
Are you the
point.
Slaw lady?
Yeah, my gosh. You wouldn't believe it. It's crazy. I go into grocery stores and people are like, oh, there's the cabbage lady. I'm like, that's great. I'm glad that I'm known for that.
What do you have to do? Is it all by hand?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we
Damien,
buy...
Damien, let her have her say it. Yeah. Let her at least act like it's all by hand. Don't...
Yeah. Well, it used to be when we first started for the first couple of years. Yeah. I mean, I cut it all by myself. And then after a few years into that, we purchased a machine.
That kind of like a food processor sort of it's, kind of thing? Chopper?
It's somewhat like that.
It's one of those machines you use to like chop up crab bait?
Exactly.
Nice.
That was exactly, yeah, it's great. But the blade doesn't cut it to the size that I want it to be. Because when you start out with something, you know, we're very funny about our product.
Yeah.
What we start out with is what we continue with. And the recipe belonged to my mother.
Okay.
It was her recipe, and I just kind of doctored it up a little bit. And since I started out that way, I have to keep it that way. So I back chop all the coleslaw. So I clean out all the stuff that I don't like. I back chop it, season it, make my own sauce, and stir it all in. And then we have a draining process to the coleslaw. So we bought these plastic containers and drilled holes in them so that the liquid, because cabbage gets watery and mushy,
yeah.
So the liquid drips through. Overnight, then the next day we resauce it and put it in the containers and sell it. It's quite a process for coleslaw.
It's smart.
It's smart, but it's not smart. We don't make any money. We don't make any money off of it, and it's the hardest product in the business. And but
because you give it, it's just free.
No, my God, no. It's just by the time you add it all up, you know, your time and all that, and But I have
customers.
It's
time to let go of the slaw.
I know, but I can't. I mean, these people haunt me. They haunt me in my mind.
No, I mean, let go of you making it. You know, it's time to bring somebody in.
Well, I know. Well, now the kids, they help core it. It goes to that machine. So at least I don't have to do that part of it. And that's a huge help. But, yeah, if something changes.
I love coleslaw.
Thank you. Yeah. It's,
well, I haven't.
You haven't had ours.
No, I think I haven't. I loved it. But coleslaw is always funny because it's always like you don't get in like a little cup. And you're like, how long has this been in this little
cup? Exactly. People are picky about coleslaw.
Right. Because, you know, you want to eat it. But you also think, do they care about this little small cup of coleslaw as much as they care about this meat? So you always feel like this is just this. Think you're like, I don't know. Do I want to eat the coleslaw? But I love coleslaw. I love putting it on a sandwich.
Yeah. We sell so much coleslaw. A ton.
Can we get what's the definition of Carolina barbecue?
Carolina would be a vinegar based sauce.
Right? So it's not red.
It's not a red sauce.
Right.
It's so, Eastern Carolina's vinegar. Western Carolina's mustard based sauce. Mm. A lot of mustard based sauces over there. But not, you know, and when I did my barbecue loop, I found that there's a certain style of barbecue wherever you go,
mm-hmm.
but I would always go to like the fire hall and say, where's the best barbecue in town here?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go to Shirley's and you know what? Get her tartar sauce because she fries fish and she has tartar. And I'm like, I want No, you got to get the tartar sauce at Shirley's. I want to talk about meat and barbecue and ribs and chicken and whatever. And you know, everybody has their thing. You know, I went to barbecue a place in Mississippi, and it was just like the barbecue was in a crock pot. You couldn't even taste the smoke in it. But in that little town, that was the best barbecue in that town. It was a town filled of older people that didn't have. They had a bunch of dentures.
And they didn't have any.
And they couldn't chew barbecue. They couldn't. So they had this barbecue that you hardly had to chew. It was like mush. Mm. And it was disgusting to me, but it was a thriving restaurant there. So
they probably had a good barbecue sauce.
You know, and there's some barbecue in Carolina that they do the sticky red sauce, like Kansas City sauce. And there's some Kansas City restaurants that do Carolina sauce. But typically, Eastern Carolina is like a lot of vinegar. Spices, and then Western Carolina's mustard.
Well, and I think, you know, it's multifaceted. I love saying that because I've just started using that.
That's
very, very
good.
Multifaceted.
I like that.
But, you know, like you can have delicious barbecue, great sauce, and a crappy roll. Or you can have a delicious roll, bad sauce, good meat. Right. Or dry meat, not good sauce, terrific roll. You know, the roll to me is also big, a big deal. You know, big, sturdy, hearty roll. I don't like that. I like the roll when it's just kind of like it's one level away from being mush.
Right. Yep.
You know, that's perfect.
Right. And a lot of southern barbecue places put their barbecue with white, just cheap white bread.
Yeah.
The cheapest white bread you can get.
Yes.
And around here, that probably wouldn't fly because people are driving and eating here, and they don't want that. So you got to get a vessel that fits this area.
A vessel. A vehicle. A vessel, a vehicle to carry the meat.
Yeah, right.
So are you Carolina-style barbecue here?
Well, we don't sauce any of our meats.
So it's just cooked and pulled and in a pan.
Yep, and then we offer three different sauces. We do a Carolina vinegar, if you like that.
Mm.
We do a hot, and we do a classic, we call it a classic sauce, which is a regular barbecue sauce, just a red sauce, but it's not boiled down, so it's not reduced.
It's a little thicker?
Or no, thinner? It's thinner.
Okay.
It's more of a dipping sauce.
Okay.
And you get your sandwich, you get to choose one sauce with your sandwich, and or two sauces with a rack of ribs. And you dip your meat in the sauce as you want to. If you don't want sauce on that bite, then don't put sauce on that bite.
What do you think about putting the coleslaw on the sandwich?
We let people do that.
We let people do that.
Our sandwich is too big. So
it's too big for the coleslaw?
Yeah. So we have to reduce the size of the sandwich in order to put the coleslaw on there. So we sell a small.
Well, I was just mm-hmm. talking like personal.
Yeah, but we do. We have a sandwich that actually has that, which is a smoking D dog. So that's an all beef hot dog, and then we put pulled pork on top of that, and then coleslaw on top of that.
Oh my Lord!
And then you get a sauce.
They're not tearing down your spot.
That's right.
That's you need to wrap that spot in bubble wrap, and it's.
I agree.
Now that recipe there, we did take. We took that from. Chattanooga, Tennessee. There was a place that I visited there, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in this kitchen, and this lady says, "Oh, come here. I got to show you something." And she made me what we call a smoking D dog.
Mm.
And I'm like, "Listen, I'm going to be eating barbecue all day long. I don't want a big hot dog with a bunch of pulled pork on it." She goes, "You just take this and you eat it all day, whatever you want to do." Well, I sat in the parking lot and ate that thing, and I went in and got another one.
Oh my God.
And just. It was
so
delicious.
Was it the...
This is a combination of the coleslaw sauce dripping through the meat, and then you pour the whatever sauce you like on top of that, and it just all blends together.
We go up to Connecticut, up to Ridgefield, Connecticut, but my wife is from New Rochelle, New York, and she goes, "Oh, you got to we go up there around Christmas," and she goes, "When we go up there, you got to try this Walters hot dogs. Are you familiar with Walters? They have one place, one spot in New York." I'm like, it's a hot dog, please. Oh, wow. And it's just a hot dog. Yeah. But they have this mustard that has like relish in the mustard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. And it's no competition.
No.
Smoking D's. But this is one delicious hot dog. And, man, if a hot dog is good, it's hard to resist.
Well, we relate things to food. You know, when you're talking about that hot dog with the mustard relish, I'm thinking about my grandmother when she made her hot dog relish, and I just wish I had that recipe, and nobody got that recipe. So it's, I can make that, but not like hers. And even if I had the recipe, it probably wouldn't be like hers because I'm not smelling her kitchen as, you know, I'm eating it, and I'm not smelling how the couch smelled, and you know, all those smells come back to you, and food is it's a very important part of your life.
It's emotional.
It's very emotional.
Well, and I've been, you know, unfortunately I'm getting older and I get, you know, I get fat. I don't know what's going on. It just seems to happen. And, I really lost really in touch with why I was eating food at all. I didn't know what the hell. I'm just eating, you know, not for the energy, not to store the energy. I'm just eating because it's a relationship. It's a habit. And I don't mind having a relationship with good food. I do mind having a relationship and a habit with bad food. And I was spending a lot of time eating just junk for no reason. Boredom, transition, relationship. I had a relationship with breakfast, lunch, snacking between. You know, I don't know what you do, but like I'd have a client and then I'd go back to the break room and I'd grab some food and then I'd come out to my next client. It would transition me. And so I had to start really taking a look how I eat my food. And Now when I eat, I only want to eat really great things, you know, really stuff that's got a lot of love in it.
And we're creatures of habit.
Well, we are creatures of habit.
If you go to Wawa and get that second cup of coffee and then get a donut, you're going to do that every day because it's a habit. It's something that makes you, it's just something that you do every day. And then you end up having, you know, three cups of coffee that you probably shouldn't have. And the donut every week adds up.
Wait a minute. We can't have three cups of coffee, Damon?
Everything in moderation. Yeah. Depends on how big the cup is.
Right. Well, you know, this is my third week of drinking coffee without sugar and cream.
Oh, how's that going?
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you like coffee?
I used to drink coffee with sugar and cream. I couldn't drink coffee any other way. I was working with a guy, his name is Scott Peterson. We'd go to Dunkin' Donuts every day in his truck, and he'd order, you know, a couple of donuts and two coffees, and then all these creams and sugars and stirs and everything, and he'd put it in the truck. And one day he just looked at me and said, from now on you're drinking it black because I'm tired of these creams and sugars and everything and having to deal with all that, so you just need to drink black coffee anyway. And being that he was 6'5 and a lot bigger than me, I just said, okay. And I couldn't stand it for like 2 weeks, and then now I can't drink coffee with cream and sugar in it.
Right.
It's so got to have just nothing in it.
I'm into my third week, and I love it. And I came up with the top five reasons I drink black coffee. And one of the reasons, I forget what it was, but it's drinking something that I absolutely love that tastes absolutely like crap. Then you start like learning about like real flavors of coffee, and I do start understanding like different notes and stuff like that of the coffee. Some coffee tastes really good. My buddy Matt, he always used to get black coffee, and he'd always order it with ice. Can you put some ice in there? I'm like, what's the matter with you? And now I get black coffee with a few ice cubes in it. And I really like Mudslingers now. Have you tried Mudslingers yet?
The one by Rosenfeld?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I haven't tried that one yet.
Delicious. Organic.
Okay.
I get it black with just a few ice cubes. And it's just, you know, because black coffee, love it or hate it, it's bitter. You know, it's got a definitely bitter flavor. And but when you find really good kinds that you like, it's not as bitter, or it's a little softer or subtler. So I used to laugh when I'd go to Wawa and I'd look at the thing and say, rich caramel, sweet notes of this and that. I'm like, oh my God, really? I just taste cream and sugar. But now you start tasting it. So
I appreciate it. It's funny you said that because, we're creatures of habit. And the trick to the restaurant world is to get people to change their habits. You probably eat at five different restaurants.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't eat at any restaurants.
Okay. None?
Nope.
You don't go out to eat at all?
None.
Okay. The average person.
I make better food.
The average person.
That doesn't mean I wouldn't go to Smokin' D's.
No,
I just don't eat out. I get frustrated.
I think we're all in that boat. I think we don't go out to eat to get good food. We want good food.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to experience something different, to be waited on, to be serviced. You know, that's basically why you go out to eat. And that's why the service part of it's so important. You have a great meal and a terrible waiter, you'll never go back.
Right.
You know, but if your waiter's engaging and the meal's okay, that waiter might bring that four top back to the table, you know, back to the restaurant because he was a good guy.
Right.
Because I don't go out to eat because I'm getting awesome food. And I'm, you know, a steakhouse. I can cook a steak at my house. I can go get a nice piece of meat and cook it the way I want it. And I know it's going to be the way I want it. And I can sit and enjoy it. But it's just not like going out. So I think most people do that, and most people only go out to about five places. And
well, if I was going to eat out, I would eat out at a Sodell restaurant, probably.
Yeah.
But you know, some guy came in, and I might have mentioned this the other day, but this guy's like, "I'm going to write an op-ed piece." I'm like, "Really? What? Why? What's going on?" He's like, "Well, I feel like there's a conspiracy by these big restaurants like Sodell and whatever to raise the prices of their food," and I go. I go, I'll tell you the same thing Matt would have told you. They're not for you.
That's right.
Until winter. You know, summer. I just went through this at Firefly. Living here is like living at Firefly. You know, you go up there. I bought six slices of pizza at $8 a slice at Firefly.
Wow.
And then my kids were hungry, so I bought two more slices. And then we bought a noodle bowl for $12 a bowl. And I didn't think 2 seconds about it. I mean, it's expensive, but I went to Firefly, and that's what it is. You come to Rehoboth Beach, you're going to spend money on, if you're eating at a restaurant, you're on vacation. That's what you do. They're not for locals. that all these big restaurants, all these places do a great job in offering lots of different deals throughout the fall and winter.
Yep.
That's our time.
That's right.
Yep. Don't go to Sodell on July and expect to get a $10 crab cake.
That's right.
Because it's just, it's not going to happen. And don't aggravate yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, go in the winter. Yep. I don't eat out because I don't, I can make better food. And no, that's no offense to anybody, but I just make, we eat steak. And, you know, when I talked about getting fat, I only eat one meal a day. I only eat supper. Mm-hmm. So when I'm eating supper, it's not going to be at Taco Bell or at a restaurant. It's going to be some pork chops that we cut up ourselves, or a steak or chicken that I cut up myself, fresh vegetables, organic. You know, if I'm only eating one meal, I want to make sure it's really delicious and packed full of whatever Tom needs to survive.
That's right.
That's just what I'm doing. I don't care. I'm not. I wasn't even going to mention it, but you brought up restaurants. I'm like, oh, let me start. But you know, I can eat better food, and I love cooking for my wife. She loves steak, and I make her this great steak and baked potatoes, and we have an Instapot. Do you have an Instapot?
Nope.
Oh my God.
What is that?
Well. Glad you asked. It's like a crock pot, but it's, you know, you can lock the lid and it pressure cooks. Mm-hmm. So I put, I can put like four potatoes in it with like that much water. And then I stack corn on top and I shut the lid and I hit pressure cook and it cooks for 25 minutes and it all just comes out perfect.
Wow.
It's not barbecue though. So, But the corn and potatoes, and then we make organic broccoli, and I'm a giver. So, like, every morning I cook for my children. My kids do not eat. And I don't want to sound like I'm special. I'm just saying I like cooking for them. So, I make them eggs. You know, I always want them to get some protein in them. No cereals and stuff like that. Not that that's fine, but I just like to cook.
Yeah.
I'm a giver.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's great.
You have to be kind of the same way. I'm sure you like to cook for your family.
I don't have much time to cook breakfast, but every Saturday morning when they were kids, we used to do pancakes. And,
yeah.
You know, those things build memories.
Absolutely.
You know, blueberry pancakes every Saturday morning.
Daddy, can I get blueberry pancakes? Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a shame. You get so busy. You know, it's like, I mean, right now we're in so many different directions. It's where can you grab something to eat? And then after cooking.
Well, and that's the nice thing about smoking D's is right now we're done at like 7 o'clock, at 7:30. We're done. We're tired. We don't feel like going home and cooking a meal, so we'll all go out to dinner somewhere together.
Right.
Because everybody's hungry. So we've spent a lot of time, you know, at Outback or wherever we go, but you have a meal together.
Well, listen, if it was up to the rest of the family, we'd probably eat out more. Yeah. I'm not curmudgeon-y, but I'm growing old, and I'll take the time. I mean, and my life is different.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it. Not like yours. You guys got so much stuff going on, but I'll take the time, you know. And sometimes I get annoyed or I'll get frustrated that how come I'm the only one that cooks? Because you're the only one that likes to. You've decided to, so stop bitch. Don't choose it and then bitch about it.
That's right. Right.
So
that's
to, you know, my wife will put me in check sometimes. But, you know, I love cooking and stuff. Good. And so listen, guys, so that was an hour. We're over an hour.
Wow.
I hope that was fun for you. I hope it was as much fun for you as it was for me. I love having you guys on. I'm a huge fan of yours. I quietly sit back and cheer you guys on. And whether it's over there on the corner or wherever you guys end up, I'm going to be cheering for you.
Thank you. Because
the Luton family's behind you.
Thank you.
And we're going to get shirts to say, I ate at Smokin' D's in Luton, Delaware.
There you go.
If you guys ever got something you want to talk about, promote, shout out, an event, fundraiser, somebody gets hurt and we need to raise money for them, Don't hesitate for a second to not think about maybe we can do a quick podcast about it and just put it out there.
Right.
This is a small little podcast, but it's just like when you cooked your first chicken wing. Slowly we'll get bigger, and whatever we can do to do good for others is all good for me.
Absolutely.
And I know you guys are a spiritual, religious family, and I really dig that. You know, I wish we had a little more of that. And I like, you know, letting God decide. That's a great idea. It's just being able to see the message. That's where I struggle. So, guys, thank you. Guys
thank
and gals.
You.
Gals and ladies.
That's right.
I said once, I go, hey, girls. And they go, we are women. I go, I am sorry. I screwed up.
I'm sorry.
I'll take girl any day at this point, right?
Women, ladies, men, and gentlemen, and kids. All, whoever's in the room, Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
I hope you guys had a good time.
We did. Thanks for having us.
You betcha. See you guys.
Bye.